This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
The Albemarle County Planning Commission has provided direction to county staff on how Albemarle should encourage the creation of more land for light industrial zoning in the county. Business Development Coordinator Susan Steinmart presented three options to the commission at their meeting on July 29, 2008. At the meeting, Will Yancey of the Yancey Lumber Company presented a preliminary proposal to request the addition of 148 acres of company land into the county's growth area for the creation of a new industrial park. Charlottesville Tomorrow's recording begins with Susan Steinmart.
Good evening. Susan Steinmart, Business Development Facilitator, here to talk with you in the work session about the second topic in our economic development policies update process, light industrial land. We learned in the updated data that we had a shortage of LI, and so in looking through the policy, it seemed as though the best place to try and address this issue was under the policy's Objective 5, provide local business development opportunity. And I just want to review with you the two current strategies in the policy.
Can I interrupt you already?
Sure.
Your first statement and the first sentence in the report I couldn't get past. The recent update in economic policy data indicated a lack of light industrial land available. What study? How do we make that determination?
We updated the data for the economic development policy.
I mean, what variables were you in play? Were you looking for enough currently zoned light industrial land to support a community of 140,000 people?
That's correct.
And that 140,000 people is the population of the city of Charlottesville and the current population of Albemarle County.
It's really focusing on Albemarle County's
okay.
Workforce, population, and land under current light industrial zoning.
And you're looking at currently zoned light industrial parcels in the entire county, not within the
correct.
Designated growth area only?
That's correct.
And you made a determination that there wasn't enough?
Well, there's 111 acres that are both zoned light industrial and designated in the comp plan. So if we wanted to address...
What's the adequate number? What number are we shooting for?
Well, that's what I was going to go through in the presentation.
So there's an explicit number of acres that we're looking for? Okay.
So just to review, under that Objective 5, two strategies. The first is to support existing businesses and industries through an open-door policy, communication, and exchange of information and concerns. The second is to coordinate with existing entities that assist new, small, locally owned, and minority and microenterprises in their startup and early operation efforts. This map roughly shows where that vacant light industrial zoning is located. Reiterating the point from that earlier update of the data that we had, 300 acres of that, 111 is both designated and zoned, giving a long-term perspective. The green stars indicate two light industrial parks that are presently outside of the development areas. So to be able to understand where we need to be in consideration of where we are, 111 acres, versus what we might need for the future, staff looked at employment numbers from VEC by industry, breaking down into what's called the North American Industrial Classification Codes, identifying all those codes that are allowed in light industrial zoning. Staff looked at the two-digit macro level as well as the four-digit more detailed level, and that showed a base of employment between 9,083 9,101 for all non-office uses. If you include office uses, which are allowed at this point in time in the light industrial zoning districts, that base, that 2006 base, jumps up to 13,477. Again, looking at the updated data from our previous work session, we saw employment growth grow at an average of 3.5% from 2000 to 2006. Applying that same percentage growth, giving it a time frame of 20 years, that says that we have a resulting shortage of about 121 acres if you're not allowing office uses, and as much as 339 acres if you do allow for office uses, considering that we would have used up the 300 acres that presently exist.
The 3.5%, is that an annual growth between those six?
The average annual growth rate between the year 2000 and 2006.
So employment is growing 3.5% in Albemarle County a year?
Between 2000 and 2006 for all industries. Then I just wanted to discuss some recent trends. That, by the way, that statistic is on page 11 of the updated data, if you want to go back and look at the table. This would be the staff report provided to the board on February 13th. So just to go back and look at recent trends with LI land, we've seen what was designated in the Comprehensive Plan for Industrial Service convert to other uses. 35 acres went for the Hollymead Town Center, 50 acres for the Willoughby Fifth Street project, 40 acres for the Albemarle Place project, 23-plus acres for Willow Glen. We've seen some recent plant closings, Avionics Specialties in Badger. And then among the what we call cottage industries, which are basically those home occupations, Class B, we've seen some zoning violations as those businesses have grown beyond what the Class B allows for. And then I just wanted to speak in very general terms of what LI looks like, what you might consider a basic industry, that is a company that's exporting a product or a service. We're seeing growth at among Star Hill Brewery, among advanced manufacturing, such as biotech or high tech. We're seeing growth in the employment bases of Afton Scientific, Music Today. The typical building sizes will range from 10,000 to 50,000 square feet. Or flex space is another type of user of LI land, comprised of many small entrepreneurs in need of storage or workspace or both. Some examples are auto repair, metal workers, typically reusing older buildings. So that's something we've seen with the Badger building at this point in time. It's now on the market for flex space and a reuse operation. Avionics Specialties still has some environmental mitigation to address.
Is this the type of use that is currently in Comdial, this type?
Comdial has a mixture of office uses as well as warehousing and storage. They presently have a company that's Injic, that's processing its mail there per their security clearance operations, and then it's being trucked up to Injic.
Thank you very much.
Is an example of a building that's being converted for different types and flex uses.
Other types of LI users are contractor offices, contractor storage, heavy equipment and trucks. Again, those cottage industries that have really grown beyond what their house can accommodate. So this work session tonight is to ask you to discuss what are some important supporting strategies that we could look at in meeting the objective five, provide local business development opportunity. And staff has recommended looked at several options. Option 1A would be to designate and rezone county-owned property. The pros of this approach would be the county controls the price of land, ensuring affordability. It's sort of another aspect to consider in this situation. how do you make light industrial land affordable? If you look back at some of those parcels that were speculated, designated the comp plan for industrial service and then speculated for other uses, the value, the market value, street value went up quite a bit. The con of this approach is that there's limited inventory available. It's compatibility with existing uses. And then the consideration for what the county had spent for the land for other uses, schools, parks.
Do any county-owned land exist outside the designated growth area as part of this option?
No, I don't think so.
Option 1B would be to designate and rezone private property. The pros of this option would be to clearly articulate expectations for future use and minimize the speculation I mentioned a moment ago for other uses. The con, of course, is the potential loss of proffers. Option 2A would be to restrict by right uses in LI districts, minimizing speculation for other things, mainly for the LI property to convert to mainly office uses. The con is that this doesn't create new land. Option 2B would be to expand other zoning districts. The pro of this approach would be to increase available land for LI uses, for cottage industry. This in particular could lower overhead for these businesses that we all use, benefit from. The con of that approach is that the land prices would not likely decline. For example, if you're opening up more uses in highway commercial or C1, the land value is going to be tied to highway commercial and C1. For cottage industry, there could be potential conflicts with adjoining uses, residential neighbors, namely. This last option, increase available land outside the development areas. The pro of this approach is that you're actually increasing LI land, possibly where there could exist historic character. Examples of this could include the Yancey Lumber Mill or the Earliesville Business Park. The con of this approach is that it's infringing upon the rural areas, obviously, impacting conservation and, again, potential conflict with adjoining uses.
The potential conflict with county policy.
Staff recommendations. As part of the master plan process, designate and proactively rezone development area land to LI zoning, somewhat similar to the Crozet Downtown Project. Option 2 would be to modify zoning as regard allowed uses in the LI and other zoning districts, just sort of looking at that perspective comprehensively. And then for option 3, we're seeking your input. Are there certain location conditions that, if met, the Planning Commission would support modifying the growth management policy to meet LI need? Some of the conditions might be adjacency to the development area, locations proximate to an interstate interchange, availability of water and sewer.
Very good.
Any comment by commissioners at this particular point?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Has staff considered the option of continuing to look to the designated growth areas for all development opportunities, both residential and non-residential, and look for redevelopment opportunities within the designated growth area for light industrial, and also rezoning opportunities within the designated growth area for light industrial? I'm not convinced that we have to go outside the designated growth area to accommodate this perceived need for additional light industrial land. I think within the designated growth area, there may be rezoning opportunities to go from what's currently there, whether it's R1, RA, R something, to light industrial, if an applicant so desires to do so. I mean, that, I think, should have been one of the policy options for staff to recommend, I mean, because that is consistent with county policy.
I think that's option one and two.
Essentially what you're asking for is what we've recommended is option one and two. What we would do is, in our master planning process, look at...
It says proactively rezone. I mean, that's... Why do we have to proactively go out and rezone land light industrial? Well, we did something similar to that in the downtown Crozet area, and I guess that was in response to a master planning process. But short of a master plan that states something like this is going to be a particular area for a commercial use, I don't see us proactively rezoning. I think perhaps just staying the course should be an option.
I think you have to do it within the context of the master plan. The community has to look at this and see within that area where they would like it. I mean, I think it has to be in the context of master planning.
I believe that we addressed this in a couple of areas in the Pantops master plan, did we not, David?
Well, the Pantops master plan, we did identify certain areas that actually already have zoning, and we emphasize, as an example, State Farm. We created it as a district which recognizes that it could stay sort of a single-use district. So that was more reflecting the existing conditions in hopes that the zoning would be consistent with retaining that activity in that way there.
That's if and when, if I think State Farm ever left, yeah. This is something that we would like to stay
I think the best parallel is the downtown district for Crozet, where there was a designation for a certain activity, and the county essentially zoned that land to allow by right activity there. I think our suggestion here is, as part of the master plan process, in order to address some of the market issues in which there is just a history of the property tending to move to its supposed highest and best use, which tends not to be industrial, to go on and put an inventory out there that may get better utilized for that purpose. The second option is to create some restrictions on the zoning to sort of continue to sort of force by right it to be used for true industrial purposes.
My concern about the assertion that there's not enough light industrial land is I'm not sure what's included in the numbers. From what we've heard, again, and we did this at an earlier work session, that we're looking at currently zoned vacant land, LI. I would like to include, a census of the growth area land to see what is currently a redevelopment opportunity that could be rezoned LI. What is currently a vacant parcel that could be rezoned LI within the designated growth area? Because I truly believe that if the county is going to meet this objective of providing local business development opportunities, the growth area is that economic development area. I mean, that's where the infrastructure exists, and that's where we're all willing to consider rezonings. I mean, and I don't see the emphasis placed on that in this recommendation. So I would like to just, express my view that I don't think we have to encourage sprawl by going outside of the designated growth area. I think that we can look inside the designated growth area for these light industrial opportunities. And Eric, I think that's what we ought to encourage.
Eric, the only one of the options that is, if I'm reading it correctly, the only one that's referring to having some flexibility going outside of the growth area is 3. I mean, the first one, it actually says in the development area. I don't believe that option 2, the modifying the by right uses, was intended to be outside of the growth area. But we I hear what you're
right.
saying, and I think it's a healthy way to go. It is consistent with our comp plan. We need to stick to the comp plan until we have some direction from the board, who hopefully will get it from the citizenry, that the comp plan needs to be changed. But until we exhaust that possibility, the challenge that we have been facing in recent years is the market value of this land that is in the development area, and if we as a commission and as a county are serious about preserving the option for light industrial zoning within our development areas, we need to figure out a way to remove from the existing land, or give one remove from existing light industrial use the option to develop it in a less sympathetic way. Roll it into office. I mean, that's a perfect example.
Sure.
If office is allowed, and that's really not what we need more of, then maybe we should take that out of the by right use of LI land.
I guess
but, But you know, we a couple of years ago, and it was approved, but there was light industrial land that, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of the project that was across from the airport.
Watkins.
Watkins, and it was a beautiful residential project. I mean, it was very, very nicely designed, very sympathetic. There was a lot of enthusiasm about providing workforce housing there, and but the sad reality is that when the applicant got up and explained why he wanted to change the zoning of that land, it was because it cost so much that he couldn't get a market return from typical light industry use, and that's a problem. So if we are serious about this, we're going to have to be very strict about not making exceptions like that in the future, because we the Planning Commission and the board has backed us up over in recent years, have taken away, I guess, about half of the light industrial zoning by allowing it to be folded into higher uses of the land.
But we responded to rezoning requests, did we not?
Right.
Those light industrial designations were changed to something else because the owner applicant wanted a rezoning.
That's absolutely right.
No, they did, and it made the project that they envisioned work for them, but it was not necessarily the best thing for the community. So
okay.
That's where we get a little.
How do we know that, though, Bill? That's my concern. We're proactively going to we're considering an option to proactively go out and rezone land to a designation that we think that there's this particular need. And I just want to understand how we arrived at, is there a need for it? We consider multiple rezoning requests, and let's just face it, the market has dictated to us that it hasn't been toward light industrial until one or two, the landscaping concern in Crozet. I think that was the only one that I can remember where there was a concern, and we granted the request, and we really narrowed the uses for future to it. But to go out and proactively do it, I'm not sure I'm there.
Well, you know, there have been anecdotal examples of this. Probably the most extreme example in recent years that I'm aware of was the Faulkner construction yard that was proposed for land that was zoned, I believe it was zoned light industry, that had been grandfathered a long time ago. And that property was, because some of it had already been developed in a light industry level, was affordable to the Faulkner construction folks, and there really weren't a lot of choices. I participated with Sally Thomas in trying to find, and with staff trying to find other light industry properties, and it was a pretty eye-opening experience to realize that you were looking at $1 million an acre for properties within the development area that were the only thing out there that were zoned, and so that is a problem when we have a locally based employment an organization that wants to be here and can't find land to be here. We've got a problem. Now that's one example, and that may be the only one.
There are others, actually. In addition to the data, I've asked the director of the Small Business Development Center, Nora Gillespie, to share some of the information she's gleaned from our local business owners trying to figure out how they grow to the next level, if you would care to hear.
Yes,
from
please.
Her.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. As Susan said, I'm Nora Gillespie. I'm director of the Central Virginia Small Business Development Center. I apologize if I lose my voice tonight. For those of you who are not familiar with who we are an agency that's in part funded by the U.S. Small Business Administration and by local sponsors, and I'm pleased to say Albemarle County is one of our sponsors. And with that financial assistance, what we do is one-on-one counseling on a confidential nature with small and mid-sized businesses. Albemarle County businesses and residents are about just under 40% of the businesses that we counsel with. And most of our clients are existing business owners who are operating here. They're not, some are startups, but the majority are existing business owners. So we see it firsthand. in helping businesses expand their operation. And we also do training, and we train about 300 people a year, and about 30-40% of those are Albemarle existing businesses. What we encounter, what our clients encounter, is as they're operating out of their home their first few years, usually after about 2 to 3 years, if they're growing, they're outgrowing their space. They need more flexibility in their space that they can't do in their home, and they need more employees, which would, if they have too many, is obviously a violation. And when they seek out our assistance, and we don't do anything with real estate or financing, they are looking for space that is small and flexible that they can grow into and that is affordable for them. Their primary concerns when they're in that transitioning stage from being a home-based business to outside the home, they're concerned about a number of things. The two things, one is can they make that rent and utility payment on a regular basis, which hopefully we've said yes before they start looking, and then obviously being able to accommodate the needs of the employees that they will need. We have a number. We see about, this year we'll see about 200 business counseling clients in the center. So over the past few years, I think I've seen about 600 or so. Typically, we see clients who may come in. I have to be somewhat vague in my descriptions to preserve confidentiality. But we've had clients who live in the county who are operating out of their home who may have worked for a major employer here and then were either downsized or whatever, and they're professionals. They start their business. They may have been importing consumer goods. A very profitable operation from day one, actually. But they needed warehousing space when they had containers coming in and shipped into the area. They had no alternatives here. They ended up leasing space. They found some space on I-81 on the other side of the mountain. We've had others who have online businesses where they may not have things drop shipped, but they may have small packages, not huge packages, but they need space. They can't operate in their home. I actually had some send me photographs of their basement in Albemarle County showing me how they've outgrown it and look for space so that they could hire additional employees, maybe run more than one shift, and do their shipping and maintain their small equipment that they have outside their home. And those have had to leave the county for that kind of space. Others who are in construction, retail supplies, as well as contractor wholesale, who have had to look for laid-down yards and have gone as far as looking at Goochland in order to find affordable space. Okay. And then we have others who cleaning services, caterers are looking for commercial kitchens all the time. And what it says to me is certainly we don't have the statistics of this is X percent of the business population that needs this, but clearly when they're coming to us, they're finding that there's not an availability or enough alternatives for them to find a cost-effective solution for moving outside their home. And so I want to share that with you. And then occasionally, we get probably about somewhere between 6 and 10 a year who have this problem, which can add up. And as I say, you know, it's not necessarily extrapolated to a percentage of the businesses. But we're also considered as partners of the SBA. We're considered advocates for small business. And occasionally I'll get a phone call out of the blue from someone who calls and says, I've moved to this area because I love it. I love the quality of life. I'm a trailing spouse, perhaps. And I just want to let you know that I can't find anywhere to operate my warehouse or do my shipping from. And so there is a need out there. I mean, certainly the staff or whatever are quantifying it, but we do see that on a regular basis.
You mentioned that you had seen up to 200 clients during the last year to 2 years, mm-hmm. and approximately 40% of that were Albemarle, so about 80?
Right, in the last year or so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's...
These folks had to go as far as Goochland and I-81 to find something
yeah,
they deem affordable.
I have to be vague, but these are growing, prosperous businesses that have potential, that are clean and friendly and you know, to what we would like in Albemarle County.
So they couldn't find accommodations in Augusta, Rockingham, Green, Madison, Orange, Louisa, or Fluvanna?
They actually could not. They went to the first place they looked was Zion Crossroads, and that got fairly as expensive for them. And so they ended up looking at some sites in Goochland.
Yeah. So. Boy, I would argue that may not be an Albemarle County problem or even a regional problem. It may be an individual business issue.
Right. I'm just sharing with you, and we've had others have gone over to Waynesboro, Augusta County, and Rockingham.
But you very clearly, at least for me, addressed, okay, what is the magnitude of the problem?
Yeah.
And I thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you.
You know, just pick up on one thing that Eric brought up. I think he raised a good point in terms of the tone of the first two recommendations. They are kind of greenfield oriented in that they're looking to designate new land or rezone new lands. And it doesn't really clearly emphasize the desire, and I think it's implicit in our POP principles, but to encourage redevelopment. So I think that that might be something that we would want to add to that, to be clear that it's not just new land that we're looking good for, also redevelopment potential.
I just have quick two comments. If you could go to the slide that says what might be concerns of the Planning Commission. The three farther on in the presentation. It was
objective 1, 2, and 3. Is that what you're looking for?
There. In terms of the 3 points you make, I know these are not exclusive, but I guess one thing that you might want to add to those points in terms of concerns are adjacent land uses and or viewshed issues. And then I just have one other comment on the next slide, I believe.
I think that was the end.
Oh, okay, the one before then. Okay, that one. Option one, I mean, you all are working on crafting the language, and I'm sure you're crafting it in a certain way to get what you want, but on option one, I just wrote it as, and this might be too weak, but as part of the master planning process, consider designation of LI zoning within development area land. If that's too weak, amend it, but I just thought rather than making it, it's kind of backward the way it's stated now, so I found it a little confusing.
In the past and under other applications, we looked at multiple designations of commercial and business properties, highway commercial versus light industrial. And if you look down the list of uses, we found that the two were very similar in many regards. Did you include highway commercially zoned land in this study or any other kind of commercial zoning designation that could be fairly easily converted into light industrial? It won't be a stark rezoning like a residential, current residential designation to light industrial.
We looked at land that was in the development areas, zoned RA and R1, so there wouldn't be any concern with downzoning. And there's roughly 6,000 acres in the development areas.
But in your inventory of what's available for light industrial use, my point is highway commercial is a very close use to light industrial in terms of permitted uses. Is highway commercially zoned land in this inventory calculate?
Mr. Strucker, staff just looked at the LI zoning.
Okay.
Because the pattern that we've seen is that it doesn't become usable for what we see as the types of industries that we're trying to locate. It may become an office-type use that's more of a service use.
Right.
But that's really not what our needs are. Our needs are more of those.
All right,
so we
David,
didn't include the highway commercial as part of that industry.
You're teeing up the question, what are the uses we're looking for, and how do we determine we're looking for those uses? Are we looking for a manufacturing of something or another? Are we addressing a problem that's out there? Define the problem, and then I think we'll come up with some policy solutions.
Well, just this week, we had a data center inquiry, 40,000 square feet. That's potentially a $50 million operation that we couldn't accommodate. But that's a new business in terms of expanding businesses. We have a pretty good growth rate among our biotech companies, and not all of them fit into the research parks. So to be sensitive to their future growth needs in the county, we just want to make sure we have enough resources for those types of companies. One of our major Transportation and Shipping Companies, UPS, is fairly well constrained at this point in their current location. And as you may have been reading the paper, they're taking on the DHL market in the North American continent. So they're going to be continuing to grow. How do we accommodate them? If you look at employment numbers,
how would they accommodate themselves? Would they acquire a parcel within the designated growth area and submit it for rezoning, and we would grant it? That's an option. 40,000 square feet, I think we can accommodate.
If
there's a rezoning and a proposal before us to consider.
I think what we are hearing from those advising us and what we're seeing is that they can't compete for the market price for what they need to invest, for that type of business to invest in land and develop here. So there's a competitiveness for the land that is creating a difficulty for true industries, those that assemble, manufacture, or are industrial in character, those things like contractor storage yards actually provide for services, but their impact character and their return for the capital investment that they need to make, they have a difficulty achieving a site in the county.
So then what we're considering here then is looking to provide pre-zoned affordable land for businesses to locate.
Or an inventory of land that adjusts the market, helps adjust the market so that they have more of a competitive chance to compete in the market. It is not for Kinko's, or it's not for contractors necessarily that serve NGIC. There are office uses that do that. When I say contractors, I mean consultants and engineers.
Scientists.
It's not that space. But those that are assembling or doing research at a small scale or a startup scale are having difficulty competing, as we understand.
It seems this is in some ways like affordable housing.
Yes.
This is an activity, a use we want to exist in the county, but it isn't competitive economically. So we don't have people coming forward with rezonings because they'd rather do something else with their land because there's higher return. So it seems to me to get at it, it's more than just rezoning. You got to get at it some affirmative, but it's really a subsidy. I mean, I don't mean to say this in a pejorative way, but it's really a subsidy program. That you're creating a special space, economic space, for people who have these uses so that they can come within our community and work here. And it seems to me, I mean, option two comes closer to that, I guess, because that would basically establish a light industrial zone that would exclude other uses, and therefore the land would only have value as light industrial. Is that correct? So in a way, you're sort of stacking the decks competitively so that you rule out other uses and therefore make the land available for that. It seems to me there might be other options associated with large new developments that would bring in, I mean, this may be incongruous, but would bring in some requirement of providing light industrial or contributing to some space for light industrial at some central area or something. I don't know whether you've
similar,
thought about
similar
that.
Similar to the affordable housing,
yeah,
proper.
Right, something like that.
We have in the comp plan.
Because it seems to me here it's not just the typical zoning problem of what uses where. It's how to stimulate or support or protect, make space for use that's not competitive otherwise, and that requires some more elaborate, seems to me, elaborate device.
So that we can say yes to that 40,000 square foot operation. One thing I found in option two that you mentioned, and I really like, is to hone down the current 40 uses that are available for LI zoning area and hone it down to truly what we're looking for. And it gets to Eric's point. Are we looking at this mishmash of 40, or are we looking at 4 or 5 or 10? But something that we can get our hands on. Yeah.
Well, like affordable housing, I think we've been very consistent with following the policies that we never change the growth area boundaries to accommodate affordable housing. We look for other mechanisms, and I'd like to state my opinion on that right away, right up front, that I would not be in favor of a policy change that would look to change the growth area boundaries to accommodate this perceived need for light industrial zoning. I think that there are plenty of opportunities within the designated growth area for that. In fact, that is our economic development policy, like I stated. The designated growth area has the infrastructure in place. All roads lead to it. Water, sewer, and it's the area that this community is willing to rezone fairly readily for uses. We've done that consistently over the last several years for mixed-use residential. We can certainly do that for light industrial, and we did work with an applicant not too long ago in Crozet, the Watkins Landscaping, is that the name, where we were able to work something out. So I think that the community is expressing, you know, our desire.
It'd be a lot easier to work that out if we went back and were able to amend the comprehensive plan in such a way to state that, one, we wanted to respond to a perceived need here.
Right.
And we wanted to I happen to agree with you, Eric, until we totally exhaust the use of the current development area, I'd like to try to keep the focus there instead of expanding it. There may be exceptions to that. There may be adjacent properties to the development area that may lend themselves, but you know,
I mean, that would be tough. But I also
but I think we need to go back and have some strength in the comp plan to encourage this, as long as we are allowing in neighborhood model developments. Large-scale retail outlets, I don't see why we couldn't include structures that could serve very adequately as light industry units that would meet all of the needs that we've heard about tonight.
Now, to do this in good faith, though, we have to figure out whether or not the growth area can accommodate it, and that's my concern with the study. I think it's too narrow in its focus to look at just vacant, currently zoned light industrial land. I think it doesn't really grasp the whole picture, and that is there are rezoning and redevelopment opportunities within the growth area that should be counted toward the inventory of space that could accommodate this. You know, we can argue about the variables and whether a 3.5% annual increase in employment is, you know, are more existing population working? Our population growth rate isn't that high per year. It is?
It's not.
Yeah, it's not. See, I don't, you know, and is that strictly the university, or does that include Charlottesville? We can quibble about that, but I do believe that we should really look at what's in the designated growth area, look at highway commercial designations as well as other commercial designations, look at redevelopment opportunities, and then maybe we can conclude there is light industrial, there is enough light industrial potential to handle this perceived need.
Yep. And I really honestly think that options 1 and 2, the combination of them, really address, they're right on with what you're saying, Eric, is that you look at what we have right now, but consider option 3. That's what I'm hearing the staff say. Excuse me,
yeah,
Tom.
I have a problem with option number 2, and the problem basically is, from a growth area perspective, like in Crozet, what I'm looking for in my community is jobs. So the people are living and working in the same town. And I would hate to say that we specifically set a piece of land for LI and then wait for someone to come, when in the meantime I could put something like the Joiner building, bring in a high-tech firm, you know, which rents the top floor, opens up a physical therapy, you know, department in the bottom, business in the bottom. So, like I say, I'm looking for the best thing that's going to come to my community that's going to provide jobs. The second thing we've not talked about is infrastructure. You know, if you're going to go to these LI, you're going to need additional infrastructure if you're talking about manufacturing. We have Barnes Lumber. It's a great place. It employs, but I certainly wouldn't put it where it is now in the current context of the master plan, because we have trucks going in and out the little, you know, through the square. So, but I, you know.
And you currently have QuickFile. That's been, it's for lease, it's been dormant for at least 15 years.
Well, it's got some environmental problems, and that's
part of the reason. Well, there are concerns with it, but I don't know if, did that make the inventory list?
Just a quick correction on that. The Watkins property was zoned highway commercial, and in point of fact, we only have than 5 acres in the Crozet development area that is considered vacant by that definition of having a building value of $20,000 or less.
So what's the distinction between highway commercial and light industrial? It's an employee. It's an employment center. We're looking for a specific manufacturing, or again, how do we arrive at that?
Well, it's a good point, because before you seem to be talking about this data center coming as light industrial, and to me that light a data center with employing a high tech is certainly something different than a manufacturing center that has trucks coming in and out all day. Those in a community are two different distinct needs, or at least, you know.
Data centers then. Generally looking for light industrial land.
All I'm saying is, as far as the uses, they're apples and oranges between the manufacturing and a data center and high tech.
I think the data center is less of an issue about need, because it can be located in office service, it can be located in highway commercial potentially, so there's more variety for that character. Again, those are subject to zoning administrator decision as to the character of the use, but that type of facility has a little bit more flexibility to it. Tom, I think we agreed with you. One of the reasons we wanted to emphasize the master plan is, as you looked at those areas, there may be unique needs within each community. I think that's what we would want to take into account. The whole transportation system for Crozet was built on the fact that we had some employment out there that we're not getting. So yep. I think it might change the dynamics of when we apply these general guidelines. And just to step back to bring us all back and make sure we're all aware of where we are, we're beginning to set broad planning policies that this doesn't automatically turn into an implementation step tomorrow. We take this and weigh it with other recommendations, including the comp plan. They're all very good points we need to be aware of, but this isn't the next step isn't to craft a rezoning to upzone or downzone or change zoning for properties tomorrow. We're trying to get an understanding of what is an acceptable type of approach by the Planning Commission and the board.
Can I ask a question, just a question on employment? We talked before, and you gave the slide about losing some space, Hollymead Town Center and that. Is there such a great employment differential between the types of jobs that would be there under the commercial settings versus those under the light industrial?
Data centers, to give you an example, pay on average $70,000 to $80,000 a year. The highway commercial is susceptible or available for retail.
Manufacturing. If you went to music today and went down to the lower levels of the people putting the widgets in
they're still making more than retail jobs in highway commercial.
What is the differential? I mean, are we talking about 100%? I mean, you know, I'm just if you have mixed use, and again, if we go back to Hollymead and you're putting offices in there, I would say if you had that mixture, that differential is probably going to shrink.
Well, there hasn't been a demonstrated need for more office space.
What sector did the 3.5% increase?
That's an average of all the sectors.
Broken out, how would you describe it then? I mean, in other words, if the 3.5 and 80% of it was office jobs, well, then we need more office space, not more LI space. That's what I'm asking.
And was it in any one particular year that drove the average up? I mean, we can look to a specific event, I guess, that would trigger.
Yeah. These are all good questions. What I'd really like to do now is just kind of back off and ask for public comment at this particular time.
Before you do that, can I make a comment?
Okay.
Because I'd like them to use their time adequately. I've gotten a lot of emails, and I want you to know, first of all, I read them, but I also, could we go to the next slide, the one that comes after this one, please? People sitting up here have heard me say this one before, but I want to make sure that everybody out there is real clear on what I've said, because what my emails are indicate that you're not clear on. Okay, I want to commend staff for coming up with this particular slide, because I think this is looking at some areas that are not necessarily designated in the comp plan. It's looking out of the box and trying to see if there's anything that might work. And I'm the planning commissioner from the Scottsville District, and I have lots going on, which I hadn't thought I would have at this point, but anyhow. But I also have some land that's been looked at this year already that meets some of this. And it's adjacent to the development area. It's proximate to the interstate, I-64. There is water that goes by it, and I would assume that there is possibility for sewer, whether a lot of it was put together and somebody developed their own sewer plant, or you bore under 64. But anyhow, point being, it's the land, just so that we're clear, it's the land on the north side of 250 running from the VDOT headquarters west to I-64. It has a lot of old zoning. Obviously, it's got VDOT. It has the Hunter's Way section. It has the trailer park area. It has a hotel. It has a parking lot that is used for all kinds of different things. And in between are sandwiched a lot of parcels that are rural, some of them quite small. Then there's also the land that is on the south side of 250, running again from I-64 to the Jarman's, the new Jarman's motorcycle shop. That's what I'm talking about. I just want everybody to know that I'm not talking about extending it way to the east. I'm just saying let's look at some land that fits into this kind of a parameter. And there may very well be land in other parts of Albemarle County. I'm not privy to that. This is the land I see all the time, and I hear from people about it all the time. So I just wanted to be clear on that. So when you talk, you know where I was or where I am.
Just to ensure, let the commissioners know, I'm not trying to cut you off. We will bring it back after we've had input from the public. Otherwise, I don't want to cut them off. All right, we will now invite members of the public. Yancey, and again, please remember, folks, there's a lot of people here that would like to address this. 3 minutes.
Can I get my demo up first, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, it does not start until...
My name is Will Yancey, and I represent the Yancey family of Albemarle County. We own and operate the R. Yancey Lumber Company, located at 6317 Rockfish Gap Turnpike. This is just a preliminary conceptual proposal. I think it's been demonstrated by Ms. Steinmark that the county has a need for more light industrial land, with there only being 111 vacant buildable acres left in the county. At least three members of the Board of Supervisors agree that the county has a deficiency of LI land based on their comments just within the past year. Maybe we can help. Located behind the R.A. Yancey Lumber Corporation and Western Albemarle High School on Rockfish Gap Turnpike, the Yancey family property is 148 acres in four parcels outside the development area, just outside, all zoned R.A. This is a satellite photo of the property taken from the county's website. It's 148 acres, and we figured if our plans were approved, we'd lose about 40 to stream buffers and floodplains. What we propose is a comprehensive plan amendment followed by the attendant rezoning from RA into a PDIP district, or Planned Development Industrial Park, catering to LI users who currently have a difficult time finding a site from which to operate in Albemarle. The relevant section of the county code governing such districts lists five characteristics, the first being that it be in conformity with the comprehensive plan. We understand that the rezoning of 148 acres outside the growth area is at odds with the comprehensive plan. Nevertheless, we'd point out that the land already borders the single largest HI parcel in the county. R. Yancey Lumber Company, at 36 acres, represents 32% of all county land zoned HI. This is the Crozet development area, and you will note that our property is at the bottom left-hand corner of that map, right outside the growth boundary. Approval of our application will take some unorthodox, outside-the-box thinking, quite literally. But after the last few months of working with the staff, the Planning Commission, and the board, I have no doubt all engage in such thought on a daily basis. Water and sewer is available via our 1,100-foot border with the rear of Western Albemarle High School. Major highways, we have arterial road access on Route 250, as well as being about 1,000 feet from the interstate off-ramps, on-ramps. The 50-acre minimum requirement's not a problem because we've got 148. Suitability is a little tricky because it's a subjective standard, but the adjacent properties, long history as a sawmill, 60-year history, is evidence to me that it's suitable. And with water, sewer, and roads all right there, the infrastructure is in place, making no undue demands on limited county infrastructure. I'll leave you with a couple pictures of the property. It's very beautiful, but why shouldn't the most beautiful county in the Commonwealth have a good-looking business park? This is a view looking west, looking east. I-64 is on the right-hand side, just out of view. This is a shot of the property where it borders the rear of Western Albemarle High School. Just through those trees is a baseball field. Note the relatively flat topography of that area. This is one of the two major floodplains with a... Mr. Chairman, if I could just have 30 more seconds, I'll wrap up. There's a little path there made by the cows on the right-hand side. It has been suggested by at least two administrators at Western Albemarle High School, as well as two individuals in County Parks and Rec, that people could make use of such trails as well. This is one of the other major floodplains. We envision this remaining as open space, and we are happy to take suggestions on what form this might take, assuming the CPA is approved. And the last shot, I-64 is on the left-hand side, just out of view. According to the Reverend Edgar Woods' History of Albemarle County, published in 1901 by the Mickey Company, the Yanceys have been in Albemarle County since 1765. Charles Yancey, my great-great-great-grandfather, was the recipient of at least three separate letters from Thomas Jefferson after the third president returned from Washington to nearby Monticello. The point is, we're not going anywhere. We have to live here. And we're willing to work with anyone willing to contribute to making this ambitious undertaking successful for the county, the community, and the Yancey family. Thank you for your attention. I'll be available to answer questions? Any questions now or later.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir, please.
Good evening. My name is Morgan Butler, and I'm commenting on behalf of the Southern Environmental Law Center. Thank you for the opportunity to share our thoughts tonight. The purpose of this discussion is to consider new strategies to increase the availability of affordable land zoned for light industry, or LI, in the county. The staff report does a good job of identifying some of the possible options. Perhaps more importantly, it also points out the root causes of the lack of affordable LI land. First, the rezoning of industrial land to higher value non-industrial uses, and second, the fact that the current LI zoning category allows a number of uses, such as office buildings, that typically generate more money for the land and therefore make it overly expensive for more traditional industrial users to try to locate there. The first step should be to address these underlying causes of the problem. If the county continues to approve rezonings of its industrial inventory to non-industrial uses, and if the breadth of uses allowed in the LI category continues to mean that office parks can block out small businesses, we won't get anywhere by simply designating more land as industrial. Option 2A in the staff report suggests cutting back some of the uses, some of the by right uses in LI districts. This seems to be a wise first step. Option 1B, designating and rezoning privately owned development area parcels, also offers some promise. The county is currently working on two growth area master plans, and next year county staff will need to update the Crozet master plan. This work presents ideal opportunities for designating growth area parcels that are appropriate for LI uses, setting the stage for the county to then initiate a rezoning of some of those parcels later on. Notably, residential densities and recent growth area proposals are falling short of county goals, so it would seem to be a win-win situation to set aside some appropriate growth area parcels for only light industrial use. Although staff has not recommended going forward with option 3, expanding the growth areas, or broadening the uses allowed in the rural areas, staff has asked for your thoughts on it. Our general opinion is that this major policy reformulation should only be considered as a last resort after all reasonable options have been exhausted. Beyond undermining key county growth policies, this approach would reduce market incentives for cleaning up and reusing vacant industrial lots where businesses have recently closed. Setting aside more area when existing industrial land sits with empty buildings makes the reuse of those vacant parcels much less likely. Option 3 may also end up doing little to address the affordability problem, as the staff report points out, because it could put all newly designated LI land in the hands of a very limited number of people. As a result, proposals for expanding grandfathered industrial uses into rurally zoned parcels like the one Mr. Yancey just presented, should be approached very cautiously. We don't want to suggest that there is no conceivable situation in which an individually tailored proposal like this might make some sense, but we think the presumption should be the opposite, and all other options for making LI land more affordable exhausted first. Thank you again for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Butler. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name is Peter Halleck. I live out in Keswick. And as a community, we had long and hard discussions on Glenmore. And we were promised by the supervisors at the time that there would be no hookups for water along 250 because we were opposed to strip zoning. And it's my fear that if you make that light industrial, the next person will come in with a land and say, oh, I just want to put a Walmart there. I want to put this there. Employment center. This is what's happened in the rest of the county. Please keep the word of the county that you would not allow hookups along 250. It is between two historical districts. It may not, due to pre-zoning, be as what Mrs. Porterfield wants it to look like. But we sure don't want it to look like 29 North either. And these are small businesses that have grown there. And I just hope you don't let them hook up. And they would be allowed to hook up if you put it in the growth area. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Halleck. Anyone else? Neil?
My name's Neil Williamson with the Free Enterprise Forum. I've got three very quick points, and I apologize to the two commissioners that were here last week that heard these 3 points, but I would like to hear the balance of the commission, actually the entire commission, discuss a little bit of dialogue with regard to the philosophy of the commission and conflicts that occur in the 5% of our county that is the development area. I remember Mr. Edgerton mentioned the Faulkner case, and there was intense conflicts between residential uses and industrial uses, light industrial uses. And how do we resolve those conflicts? To be clear, the Free Enterprise Forum has no opinion with regard to projects, Ms. Porterfield's suggestion, Mr. Yancey's suggestions. But I do believe that each commissioner is aware of small cottage industries that have moved out of the county. I've seen two or three in my time at other planning commissions in Greene County and Fluvanna, whereby a landscaper or an air conditioning will move over the county line. Well, that's fine for that county to accept this business, but then all of their client base is here in Albemarle County. That puts more trucks on the road dealing with your infrastructure without dealing having the revenue of the business taxes there. It also makes, generally speaking, it causes some conflict in timing for how quickly the plumber can get to your house. Finally, I really would suggest you consider a discussion of strategic enterprise zones that would be adjacent to the growth area, perhaps adjacent to highways. It seems to me that this report, although Mr. Strucker raised a number of very good points with regard to what the escalation factor should be, et cetera, these are existing businesses. These are businesses that the county, in their comprehensive plan, wants to keep in Albemarle County. If that's true, we do need to find some place for those businesses to grow. Or perhaps you don't want industrial service in Albemarle County. It's up to you.
Thank you very much. Next. Mark?
My name is Mike Marshall. I'm editor of the Crozet Gazette. I came tonight because I wanted to hear what Mr. Yancey was going to say. I'm also the chairman of the Crozet Advisory Council. I'm not making a comment in that capacity. I'd like to say that having listened to the discussion, I think Mr. Strucker was right, and no disrespect to Ms. Steinmart or Ms. Gillespie, I don't think the case has been made that this need actually is tangible yet. And if it is, I would like to say, because I have knowledge of Crozet, that there is a lot, I mean a lot of space at ConAgra left. The whole north side of the property is basically undeveloped. If you look at it, there's a lot of space there. And also Quickfile, as you call it, or Acme, 60,000 square foot building that's basically vacant, an enormous parking lot about it. And I want to draw one other thing to your attention, and I've done some reporting on rail in western Albemarle, and freight transport by rail is growing very rapidly. And I wonder if maybe we ought to look at rail access as much as we look at interstate access for light industrial use. And let me point out that both of those properties did have rail spurs to them historically, as well as Barnes's Lumber, which still has an existing CSX spur on it that could be reactivated. And to support Tom, then, I would like to say it does seem to me that this is a question that should be looked at in the context of master plan, master planning, and that we may actually have enough available property now. I'd also like to say, on the subject of subsidies, which I thought was a very bold term for you to use, John, but also the accurate one, what is affordable? Affordable is a very subjective term. You know, I run a little newspaper out of my living room. People suggest to me I could get an office, and I think, oh, my God, you want to charge me $300 for an office? Well, I don't think that's an unaffordable rate for a lot of people. I look at it, and I think, I really can't afford that. So affordable? Who's affordable? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Anyone at all? If not, I will close the public hearing, bring it back to the commission for any further discussion and any recommendations to staff.
Well, I think I'd like to, I guess, encourage the commission to take action. That slide in particular is the one I want to look at. It's the one that Linda referenced. I'd like to change that first bullet underneath the main large print, adjacent to development area. I don't want to encourage that. I don't think, and I'd like the commission to make a decision on this front. I'd like it to be reworded to within the development area. And I just want to take care of that issue right up front. Sprawl to me happens in many ways. It could happen at 140-acre bite, or it can happen at a two-acre bite or a one-acre bite. It can be incremental or it can be large. And I'm not comfortable to be in a position to hedge on the language about going outside the designated growth area for this. Adjacent to the development area means suburban sprawl. And that's the way I view it. You know, Mr. Yancey's proposal... excuse me?
Preliminary
suggestion. Yeah. it goes against my principle about encouraging that kind of activity within the development area. And what that would do is extend the Crozet development area south of 250. And that wasn't envisioned in the community during the master planning process. And I think it is counter to county policy. But I would suggest that this commission send a recommendation to staff as they develop this proposal to look within the development area. And so I would recommend a wording change of that first bullet point to eliminate the word adjacency too.
Linda, your ideas?
Obviously, I don't agree with that. I just would like us to be able to look at land that has... that there's some differences within that land that make you willing to at least look at it. And the land that I'm talking about in particular has a lot of old zoning. So even if we want to say it's not in the development area, like it or not, the old zoning has made a goodly chunk of it in the development area because that's what's there. And I'm not saying that we are doing it. I just think we need to at least have the ability to look. You know, I haven't been here very long, but there have been a number of issues that have come up, and various of you who sit here looked at me and said, maybe you need a comprehensive plan amendment. And I said, okay, fine, explain to me what we do. Well, I'm just saying in this particular thing, they're looking. And there might be at least something worth going ahead and looking at it. If you don't like it when it comes back, but let's not just even look in my district. Let's see if there's any other places. Many of you may have a spot in yours that should be looked at because it isn't exactly rural. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I think any landowner can propose anything they want before the county on a rezoning. But I don't think county policy should be open in that regard here. I think the county policy should encourage strictly within the development area. Now, if a landowner outside the development area wants to come before us and make a proposal, we can certainly would be willing to listen to it and look at it with reason. If it's currently zoned something and they can do something by right, and what they're proposing is, in our judgment, something better than by right and more compliance with county policy and direction, then I think we would consider a rezoning. But it's a matter of making a policy here for economic development. I firmly believe we should look within the designated growth area and state so explicitly.
Hey, John?
I guess I feel the same way as Eric, although perhaps a little less unqualifiedly. I think the focus has to be on developing opportunities in the growth area, and I'd encourage further exploration of option two and maybe other even more aggressive options for basically, as Neil said, you know, putting our money where our mouth is. If we want these businesses here and we want them in the growth area, how are we going to ensure that that can happen in a realistic way that takes into account the market realities? And I think there ought to be, as generally there is, a strong presumption against opening up additional development in the rural areas. I just think that's the underlying policy of our whole comprehensive plan. I don't know why we would abandon it in any systematic way here. We haven't done that for affordable housing. We haven't done it for other things that we want in the county. We've tried to funnel all that into the existing growth area. If we get to the point where we've exhausted our options and can't do what we want to do, we can consider that alternative. But I think there ought to be, as Morgan says, a strong presumption against it.
Tom?
Well, to me, it seems that there is no problem in this county where there is not a growth area solution. Growth area residents now make up the majority of the population, and I think within the context of master planning, will make the proper decisions for the future development of their communities. And I think that's why, with Mr. Yancey's suggestion, in which is adjacent and outside the growth area, it should only be taken up within the context of the master planning process. And it's a decision that the community should be part and parcel, if not the majority, vote in making. So, again, I go back. I worry about option number two, where we set aside land. I'm not sure I agree that's within the free market system. And to me, I don't want to set something aside when it can be used for something else that can put jobs in my community. And certainly, as Mike pointed out, with Acme Visible there, with what's happened to ConAgra, all the businesses that are in there, and with the Joiner building, and with the new plan, we're a long way down the road to solving these problems. So I think it's, to some degree, it's catch up in the other growth areas to find out for them and start letting them make their solutions. But too much comes down on the growth areas from above, and I think what we need is a little bit more coming up from the growth areas.
Bill?
Yeah. Well, I guess Linda spoke so forcefully and continues to speak so forcefully about the property between 64 and Shadwell Store, and I want to go on record. I'm opposed to that. I feel strongly that Mr. Halleck's point is well taken.
Please, can I correct you? I am not talking about 64 to the Shadwell Store. I'm talking about 64 to VDOT on the north and 64
okay.
to the Jarman.
Any of that land.
Yeah. But
okay.
Please don't, because
okay.
that's part of the misinformation that's
okay.
out there.
Okay. I thought I'd heard at previous meetings that you thought that there was a lot of sort of mishmash there that should
be. No, there is. Up to VDOT.
I think there are many, many reasons not to expand the growth area in that area.
I haven't asked to explain.
Just a moment, please. Let him.
Yeah, it's
I'm
my
sorry.
Turn, Linda. You had your chance. I agree with what John has said. I agree strongly with what Morgan Butler has said. I do take issue with Tom's concern about option two. I'd like to go back to that slide because that really is, I think, more germane to our conversation than the one you just had. Option one and two.
One more.
There.
That one. The modified zoning as it regards to uses in the light industry, I think that's a good first step. I agree with Morgan Butler there. I think that we need to look hard at it because right now I think that with some of the inclusiveness of activities that are allowed in other zoning districts that are making the property far too expensive to actually support the need that it has been identified for light industry. I feel strongly that we should try to start in the development area, in the growth area, as it exists right now. And frankly, I haven't been convinced that there is a need or will be a need in the foreseeable future to expand the growth area. Our comprehensive plan, I think, is a healthy one. I agree with Tom. I think that the folks living in the development areas need to participate more. I hope they do. I'm looking forward to Places 29 community participating more in these decisions. And I think that light industry can be integrated into the growth areas through rezonings in a sympathetic way that will not impinge on the neighborhood model concept any more than some of the large-scale retail has already. And so as far as option three, until I feel a greater need to expand the growth area, I'm going to have a hard time with proposals to do just that.
Julia?
I've made a couple of suggestions. The only other thing that I would say is yes, within the growth area, but also I would advocate for what David Benish said, which is to really reinforce the concept of redevelopment and avoid the use of greenfield sites.
Linda, you had it.
All I want to basically say is I don't disagree with the people sitting up here in the other portions that you put out. I just firmly believe that we have staff that does this every single day, and we have a planning commission. And if we don't ever just look at other ideas, it doesn't mean that we're going to adopt them, but we need to at least look at them, and let's see what the good points and the bad points are. And that's why I thought it was nice that staff came back with something that really isn't firmly in the comp plan. And all I'd like to see is, do we have any very unusual land that could maybe be considered? And the part in my district is unusual, and I don't know what it can be used for, but I'd like people to think about it and not immediately reject this kind of an idea because it's not in the comp plan. Just think about it. That's all.
Right. As far as I am concerned, I really like staff's option one and two, some combination thereof. I am at this time in agreement with John, Eric, that option three is not a viable option at this particular time. That I think that we have plenty of area within the development area. And we should really look at that, and I like the use of areas that are almost dormant at this time. I like John's idea of subsidy. I mean, at some point in time, we're going to have to look at it one way or the other, even if it is using county land, which I'm not really in favor of, but it's an option, and it's part of option one. Susan, does that give you any help?
Yes, thank you very much.
Any further comments? David?
Summarize a few comments just to make sure that I've got as much consensus as we have. make sure I'm reading the consensus.
This will be an art.
It seems like the majority are comfortable with option two, that we should approach the majority.
No, please understand. I'm not disagreeing with them on those.
Me being the minority.
Oh, you're going to be the minority? It's so nice not to always be it.
You're not the minority.
The next step would be to look within the development areas for additional land, and that doing that in a strategic manner consistent with master planning processes seems to be a next step in terms of priority. Well,
are we looking for policy language that explicitly states that economic development will happen within the designated growth area?
Well, the policy basically says that now. So I don't know that we need to change the policy, but we can look in making sure that's reinforced. I think that's consistent with the current policy.
Obviously, you know, agricultural and forestal uses would have to happen in the rural areas. But, I mean, that should be explicitly stated as well, not light industrial.
Go right ahead.
And you're comfortable with emphasizing also reuse as a component of that?
Absolutely.
There's a consensus that we should be pursuing other more innovative approaches other than land use designation as an approach, maybe looking at this similar to affordable housing as a way, and those types of approaches, and investigating the options in the future. Is there a consensus on that?
I'm not suggesting that that's the alternative we should take. It's just that
it's an option.
I mean, we have a market failure problem here.
There's actually other sections.
The question is, how can we overcome it? And it's not just by traditional zoning.
I don't know if we have a market failure.
How do you define a market failure?
Well, it's not a market failure problem. The market's doing everything just right, but it's doing things right in a way that produces a result we don't want, which is to exclude these uses to outside our jurisdiction. That's what's happening.
I'm not sure it's doing that.
If the economic analysis is correct, that's what's happening.
Yes, and that's what we've heard from the people who work with it.
There are actually other strategies in the economic development and other sections that kind of address those types of approaches that we'll take a closer look at how we'll work with them.
And I have to go with Mr. Loach that there's a lot to be driven by the people who live in an area and what they're looking for and that type of thing, rather than just saying we're going to have X amount of affordable housing or X amount of affordable light industry. I mean, if they need it, it'll be there.
Okay. Those are the areas we'll follow up on, and we'll come back to you with revisions to the policy.
I think that just listening to everything that has been said this evening, it was worth bringing it back from last week. And, Susan, I want to thank you very, very much for going through this a second time. I think it was extremely beneficial. And I want to thank all of you, and especially those of you who were here last week and came back again this week. Thank you very much.